The tax cut compromise has passed Congress, so when do we see the results?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The global perspective in a moment. First, to the tax cut compromise that Congress passed last night and sent to President Obama's desk. You're going to hear all today about the political spin and what the bill does to the deficit. But we figured here at Marketplace we should focus on the numbers of the bill. How much of a tax cut will you and I get? And when will we start to see that extra money? Marketplace's Janet Babin is with us live from our New York studio with the latest. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Steve.
So when are we going to feel the effects of this tax cut package?
Well, it's going to be at least a few weeks into next year, if not longer. That Social Security tax cut will mean a 2 percentage point reduction in nearly every worker's paycheck for all of 2011. So what happens now is the IRS sends out these payroll withholding tables. They come out every year, and they're used by payroll processors to do the math on how much tax to take out of our payroll checks. Usually the tables arrive mid-November. Obviously, because of this change, it's going to take the IRS more time to get those withholding tables published. And when they do arrive, accountants and payroll staff are going to have to work at a frantic pace to implement them. In some cases, companies have to create software that automatically figures in that lower tax.
All right. So it might come a little late. But how much will that, Janet, that Social Security tax cut save us?
Well, Social Security taxes, as I said, are going to be cut by nearly a third, really, from 6.2% down to 4.2% for all of next year. So if you make $50,000 a year, you're going to save about $1,000. And the maximum deduction is going to be just over $2,100 because Social Security stops taxing earnings above about $107,000 a year.
All right. Janet Babin, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Marketplace's Janet Babin reporting from our studio in New York. Now to the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. Globally, the amount of power from nuclear plants is expected to quadruple over the next 20 years. The U.K. is among the countries open to building new nuclear reactors, which raises an important question. What to do with all that radioactive waste? From London, reporter Christopher Worth has more on the debate there.
For workers at this nuclear facility in northern England, that slow, constant beep of the plant's monitoring system is a reassuring sound.
So this makes sure that no radiation has escaped from the plant.
Carl Steele is with Sellafield Limited, the company that operates this site within the scenic Lake District. He says if that steady beep turns into an alarm, I should run as fast as I can.
Yeah, don't wait for me, just run, yeah.
This plant reprocesses most of the UK's most dangerous high-level nuclear waste, and that waste will remain in this building for the next 50 to possibly even 100 years. The question is, then what? Britain hopes to build what's known as a geological repository for radioactive waste deep below the Earth's surface, much like what the U.S. has tried and failed to do at Yucca Mountain in Nevada. And Cherry Tweed is with the UK's Nuclear Decommissioning Authority. She says that waste would stay there for a long, long time.
Hundreds of thousands to possibly a million years.
I caught up with Tweed at this local community meeting in Keswick, a tourist town not far from the nuclear plant. Residents here are discussing the possibility of building an underground repository nearby.
First of all, good afternoon and thank you for coming.
So far, this area around the facility has been the only place to express an interest in hosting a repository.
Getting the support of the local community will be absolutely key to the process.
But it won't be easy to persuade locals like Yvette Kahane, even though she's lived alongside the nuclear industry for most of her life.
But I'm not sure as to whether actually deep disposal is the safest way to deal with it.
Among people's concerns are worries that waste could contaminate groundwater. But underground storage does seem to be the way Europe is heading. Last month, the European Union required all member countries to develop programs for building nuclear repositories. In Cumbria, England, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
All the talk of European debt continues to weigh on global stock markets. Shares in Europe and Asia are mostly lower at the moment, about 0.5%. Moody's slashed Ireland's credit rating by 5 notches and gave it a negative outlook. Wall Street yesterday, stocks offered a little sparkle. The Dow tacked on about 41 points to close at 11,499.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio.
Now, further proof that money doesn't necessarily buy you happiness. In China, the population is getting richer every year, but also increasingly dissatisfied. From Beijing, here's the BBC's Chris Hogg.
The Chinese economy is growing at a rate of nearly 10% this year, the fastest growth anywhere in the world. But according to a survey from the Chinese Academy of Social Sciences, people here are the least happy they've been in 5 years. The survey blames rising food prices, corruption amongst government officials, and a growing gap between rich and poor. Dr. Kerry Brown from the London think tank Chatham House says many Chinese are having trouble adjusting to an increasingly capitalist society.
You know, you kind of have problems of people trying to compete with each other, greater competitiveness in society. I mean, you know, the state isn't really looking after people.
The Chinese government is acutely concerned about the effect that economic growth could have on social stability, and the results of this survey will only fuel those worries. In Shanghai, I'm the BBC's Chris Hogg for Marketplace.
And finally, a Taiwanese man had the misfortune of dropping a bag containing more than $6,000 of his money into a shredding machine at work. Ouch. Good thing in Taiwan, you can take your obliterated cash to a special investigations unit at the Justice Ministry and have it pieced together free of charge. A 30-year government forensic scientist worked for days upon days piecing the money back into an acceptable condition, like a puzzle. The scientist's nickname? She's the jigsaw expert. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Check us out online. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. Grab the podcast while you're there. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
It's a tricky balance. You blow the whistle on financial fraud at your firm and you get a huge bounty, or you don't and you keep a low profile.
If you don't protect the whistleblower, he or she is simply not going to step forward.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the cost-benefit analysis of new whistleblower rules in our series Economy 4.0. That's next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.